while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Sometimes I wish I could sing, but I can't sing, but I can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I know that when I stand before God, I will receive as much reward as Sandra and Deji, who sing. Because we'll all be judged according to our category of entry. God is good. I want to thank God for 83 years of your existence. Not many of you here obviously were here 83 years ago. But we are reaping the harvest of somebody's hard labor. Somebody had a vision. Some people came together, put their resources together, and built this place. And you have continued to be a witness in this community and beyond for 83 years. I know you do a lot of missions work, and so your work has gone beyond the four walls here and gone to nations beyond. And the fact that you have not been to some of the places that you have reached out to does not mean that God is not working in those places. As a matter of fact, you will never come across or meet everyone whose life you have touched. There are people who exist somewhere today whose lives have been changed because you did what God asked you to do. So to God be the glory. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It's not often I go to places and they give me a topic. Topics sometimes restrict you to what they want you to say. But I believe that God will say something to us, because I don't know how long you've been dwelling on this whole thing, and I don't want to compete with your well-proven teachers and pastors. And, you know, your pastor is a man of many talents, and so I don't want to ever go into an arena of competition with him. He speaks better than I do. He's nicer looking than I do. He's younger. And I'm not saying these things. These are things he has told me. I said, I believe it. After you've been told one thing over and over again, you believe it, isn't it? So, he's watching me from behind. I better behave myself. The writers and the translations that we use do not do this verse a world of good. Because when you read certain things you read in scriptures, you ask yourself, what does that mean? You know, when you read in the King James, you say, do not forsake the coming together of the saints. Okay, I understand that bit. But the other bit of it, for it hath a great recompense of reward. I've still been working it out what it means. You know, so thank God for translations that break it down. English language is not my first language. I learned a language called Igbo from the eastern part of Nigeria. And so I obviously went to school where they taught us in English language. But I find out that sometimes you read scriptures and they tell you things, but you don't really get the depth of what it means. What does it mean to say our ever-present? What does that mean? The correct translation should have been our well-proven, proved beyond every reasonable doubt God. You know, that sounds better, isn't it? To prove without any shadow of doubt or argument, to be fully persuaded I'm convinced beyond every reasonable argument, God. Just last week, a member of my congregation who had suffered from some kind of discrimination at work was accused of doing something that she never did, and immediately her employment was suspended, and she has had to be dragged to a high court. And all kinds of allegations were lumped against her that she had pushed down an elderly lady in a home, even though there was a CCTV camera in that room and showed something to the contrary. But the Crown Prosecution Service decided there was enough evidence to take her to court. And so for 2 years, she has had this whole agony over her head. And the first day of her visit to the court, my wife went with her. The trial lasted 3 days. Agony upon agony upon agony. Not knowing what the jury would decide and whether she would be asked to go home or maybe face criminal charges. And on the third day, on the second day, the judge gave direction that the whole thing should change, and we began to see the hand of God in operation within that system that was stacked up against her. And on the third day, the jury returned a verdict of not guilty. Now, you don't understand what that means. If you have been in a situation for 2 years where you have grown leaner, your body has rejected food, and your mind has rejected sleep, and you have been pushed to different corners, and now you are still there. I think it took about 15 minutes for the jury to come back and return a unanimous verdict of not guilty. And so she was discharged and acquitted. In law, when you are discharged and acquitted, it means that you can no longer be tried for that same offense. And so, when it says you are my ever-present help in times of trouble, it means that trouble has troubled me. And as the trouble has troubled me, God has come into that situation and shown that he is God. And therefore, God has discharged and acquitted me from that trouble. Do you get it? He is my ever-present help. He's the ever-present help of this church, because some years ago, some people came together and said, God, help us. Let me tell you something. We have always had the same challenges when it comes to building the kingdom of God. It has never changed. It will never change. There will always be a step of faith in trying to build anything for God. There will always be challenges. Jesus was not born at Croydon University Hospital. Thank God he wasn't born at Croydon. My two children were born at Croydon University Hospital. I received my back operation at Croydon University Hospital. My wife we lost our first baby through ectopic pregnancy. It was at Croydon University Hospital. In all these cases, they did us good. Amen? And so we thank God for Croydon University Hospital. And can I say also, when I was in Croydon University Hospital for about a week, I did not want to go home. You know why? They gave me 3 meals a day on time. My wife has never given me 3 meals on time for a whole week. Breakfast is at 7:30. Lunch comes in at 12:30. At 5 or 6 o'clock, I get supper. It's never happened in 32 years of marriage for a consecutive week. So why wouldn't I want to stay in the hospital? I guess she would say I've never done the same to her. You know, but I was the one who was in hospital. So hospital did me a world of good. I felt like a king. All my church members were visiting me in hospital. They were buying me fruits. I became a distributor of fruits. They'll buy me flowers. They've not bought me fruits and flowers since then. So why shouldn't I go back to hospital? I should go and fake something and just be admitted for 1 week. You know? Okay. God is our ever-present help. Our well-proven God, beyond any shadow of doubt, beyond any reasonable doubt. Think about yourself. How God has proved himself on your behalf. Crisis is not always a bad thing. Because through crisis, God comes with a reassurance that he is God. I'm not asking you to leave church now and start praying for crisis to come. Nobody loves crisis. But you know, when God shows himself strong on our behalf, it reinforces our faith. And so this morning, I want to use just one of those examples in Scripture, a miracle that Jesus did, that kind of will show us an example of what it is that God does in our lives when crises arise. In John chapter 4, we are told in verse 46, John chapter 4, verse 46, for the sake of time, I want to read it because it will take some time for it to come up. Then he came to Cana in Galilee where he had changed the water into wine. Please note, he came to a place where he had changed water into a wine. So there is a link to a previous miracle. Now there was a royal official whose son lay ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Remember, Jesus is not present with the boy. This boy is somewhere else. And they have come to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Jesus, the official said to him, sir, come down before my little boy dies. I love this man. I love him. I love him. He's not being rude, but I think he's being rude. Jesus is saying, come, sister, let me say, come. I know that unless you see signs, you won't believe. The man turns around and says, Jesus. Let me do it like a Nigerian. Jesus, forget that story. My son is dying. And you're telling me stories. Do you get it? The man completely says, Jesus, my son is dying. Come and heal my son. And you're telling me, thank you, sister. Exactly. Jesus says, unless the man comes in, they tell Jesus, come and heal this boy. The boy is dying. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. In Deji's place, how they will respond is, that's how they respond. Jesus, I'm not here for a joke. My boy is dying. It's not the time for us to enter into a long sermon. I think I feel like that sometimes at home. My wife and I, we nearly had an argument on Friday night. Nearly. I'd gone to get food. I was hungry. I hadn't eaten all day. When I came back home, I had told her I was 5 minutes away from home. I expected the plate to be on the table. Glasses ready. Guess what my wife was doing when I came home? Folding the napkins and trying to light up the candle. It's nice for you, but it's nice for you. A hungry man is an angry man. Forget the candle. Forget the napkins. You know what I mean, Deji? Yeah. Yeah, I've been out all day. I'm hungry. I've just come back home. And the amount of time and skill and energy that was put into the plate was not even on the table. And so I understand this official very well. Him and I must come from the same family. And he says to Jesus, Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. Hallelujah. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started on his way. As he was going down, his slaves met him and told him that his child was alive. So he asked them the hour when he began to recover. And they said to him, yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. The father realized that this was the hour when Jesus said to him, your son will live. So he himself believed along with his whole household. Now this was the second sign that Jesus did after coming from Judea to Galilee. Hallelujah. It's the second sign, miracle that Jesus performed. When you read the Gospel of John, you will see that John was very, very careful the way that he recorded the miracles of Jesus. He mentions the seven miracles of Jesus. And he says, this is the second one. But he links up the second one with the first one. The first one being that Jesus turned water into wine. And he deliberately makes a link. But this is not just the second sign. It is also the first sign of Jesus, where Jesus spoke from a distance and showed his power and his ability to be in control of the affairs of men from a distance. From a distance. He was not there at the place where the boy was, but he spoke his word. And the word went to where the boy was. The word located the boy where he was. Nobody gave Jesus the address of where the boy was, because Jesus does not work according to the addresses of human beings. Jesus knows where you are located. And when he speaks his word, you see, when he speaks his word, he's not going to, if it's for me, the word will not go and locate Sandra, because it's not for Sandra. He knows where you are. And the man inquired, I love this man, and I love the fact that Jesus said to him, unless you see and believe. And the man, after an encounter, he asked the question, because he's like me. He said, by the way, at what time did my boy get healed? They said it was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And the man looked at his diary and said, at exactly 1 o'clock yesterday, I was with Jesus. And Jesus spoke a word. And so that word that Jesus spoke went to the boy immediately. For the word of the Lord will not come out of his mouth without accomplishing the purpose for which it has been spoken. The word of the Lord in your mouth will not fall to the ground. The Bible says of Samuel that not one of his words fell to the ground. Are you listening to me? So, I want you to know that the Jesus who started this work 83 years ago had a plan and a purpose established for this. Do you know that he knew you would be here today? Before the foundations of the earth, he knew you would be here today. That you would come and celebrate, and that you would come and stand on the shoulders of giants, the pioneers of this work. Sometimes you need to give yourself a little pat on the back, on the shoulders, and say, God, I thank God that I'm continuing with the vision you gave to this house. And that it will not end in your time and in your day. Praise the Lord. I want you to see a pattern here from this miracle. And I want us to also use it to look at our own lives. The first thing I want you to say, to see, is that there was a very serious crisis. I don't know about you, But I know that if somebody told me that my son or my daughter was somewhere in a very serious crisis, it would mess my life up. I know that if somebody told me, God forbid, we live in Croydon. We live in an era where if our sons, my son is 25 years now, but I still shudder sometimes because when they go out, I pray for them. I pray that they will come back home safely. I pray that it all will go well with them. The other day, 2 days ago, he had a radio show in Peckham, and he went to Peckham, and I heard the mom say, "Where?" So there is a very serious situation here. We all have faced, at one time or the other, a very serious situation. A situation where we knew we needed solutions. And I don't know the measure of your situation. I don't know the depth of it. I don't know how serious it is. But at one point or the other, either directly or indirectly, we will face a crisis situation. Take the first miracle that he's referring to here. They went to a wedding feast and they ran out of wine. I know they're not Baptists because they had wine. Okay, you didn't get that. If it was a different kind of setup, it would be different. But he said they ran out of wine. If it was my daughter or my son's wedding and we ran out of food or wine, I'd be very embarrassed. It's a crisis situation to me. Half of the people who have been invited have no food and no drink. What are they going to say about me? They're going to say all kinds of things. So crisis is crisis. But it was crisis enough for the mother of Jesus to intervene and say, do something about it. And so we will always have a situation that would require God to intervene and do something about it. The second thing we need to learn is that Jesus had just come back into Galilee. He went away. Have you ever sometimes wondered, God, are you here or have you gone away? Okay, let me use myself as an example. I feel that sometimes God goes away and goes on holidays. Because no matter how much I've knocked on his door, it doesn't seem that there is anybody behind the door. It doesn't seem as if my prayers have been answered. It seems that God is a bit distant. And sometimes we feel that way. But I want to assure you that Jesus who went to Galilee will come back into your situation. He never will leave us nor forsake us. Even in those moments when we feel he's gone, he will come back. He hasn't gone finally. He's coming back. Isn't it reassuring that this same Jesus who came during his first missionary journey will come back again? So he hasn't gone away finally. The third thing we learn from here is that somebody comes with a request. It's not a bad thing to put a request across to God. It's not a bad thing to write your shopping list out to God. I'm sure the people who got this place had a request. Oh God, if only you would let us build this place. And then they had to raise the money. They had to design the place. They had to think about how to heat it up. They had to think about where do we put the beams. They had a request. This place was built on the request of men and women. They had a request like Pastor Deji rightly prayed this morning. In his prayer, he gave a catalog of the history of this place. Men and women came together and said, God, give us a place in this community so that we can serve you. And I have heard beautiful things about what you're doing. Was it 2 years ago or last year? 2 years ago. And the one before, and last year, okay, and this year too, and next year, amen. About the things that you're doing, the mayor came and you fed people within your community, you had balloons and you made the children happy. As you made those children happy, May the Lord make you happy as well. You gladden their heart. Someone will always come with a request. In church, people will always come with a request. I am the first born of the first son of my mom. And I come from Nigeria, and one of the unfortunate things about being firstborn is everybody looks up to you. And the list never ends. I'm constantly getting requests from Nigeria. They don't even ask, sometimes they don't ask how am I, it's requests. And so these days when I get a text from Nigeria, good morning uncle, how are you? I kind of feel, stop the good morning and tell me what you want. Just go straight to the point. Let's stop playing games. Someone always comes with a request. But I find something about Jesus. Sometimes when you come with a request, it seems that Jesus refuses the request. In the case of turning the water into wine, he looked at his mom and said, Mom, what's your problem? It's not my wedding. They should have made plans for the drinks. And you know, that can be off-putting, but I thank God for his mom. The mom is like my mom. My mom comes to my church. And Sandra's mom comes to my church. Sandra's mom is 100 years. She turned 100 in November. My mom will be 90 in April. They're the two hardest members of the congregation I have. When I'm preaching, they're talking. And what they're talking about has nothing to do with the preaching. It's always, he hasn't cut his hair. Oh, he's grown too fat. And I will say to them, Mom, watch me. I'm the pastor here. Can you listen? They completely ignore me. And they continue. When Jesus told his mom, he said, Mom, what has that got to do with me? She completely ignored the son. And she turned to the disciples and said, do whatever he tells you to do. Sometimes it seems that God resists us and ignores us. But you know what? Persist. He feels God is not listening. Persist. Persistence is part of our prayer life. Persistence. Perseverance will succeed. When you persevere, when you keep going, some of the problems we have is because we gave up a long time ago. We stopped asking. My son is good at persisting. If my son wants something, he'll wake you up in the morning. He'll send you a text at 9 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, he'll ask you, Dad, did you get my text? At 11 o'clock, he said, Dad, did you get the text that I asked you whether you got my text? And that will continue. So at 2 o'clock, you give in because you don't want this thing to continue. And you give in not because you really wanted to do it, but because he's persistent. When was the last time you were persistent with God? When was the last time? Because when you persist, like in the two examples, God will grant your requests. There will be a remarkable miracle. He will eventually answer you. That's why we're here. The people persisted. The people worked hard. And eventually, God answered them. He answers prayers in his own time. It's not always in our own time. But you know, everything is beautiful. You know? God is God. And one thing I find that as I begin to draw my message to a close, I want to pray for you as we celebrate this 83rd thing, anniversary. When God performs a miracle in your life, it's not just for you. It's so that he can, through you, shine his light on other people. Because unless people see and believe, unless there is a sign, there are people who will not change their minds. And let me say to you that the signs and wonders that we talk about is not always when God gives a new sight or when God gives a new leg. It's also when Pollard Hill Baptist Church go into the community and feed the hungry. It's when you extend the friendship of Jesus, when you extend into your community the love of Christ. There would have been people who came to some of your events that were lonely, that were on their own. And the only opportunity they had in the times that you celebrated to come out and really interact with people was because you made yourself available. There are people who may not have eaten the kind of food you provided. Don't take it for granted for one moment that people always eat well. I have known of a situation where an elderly man had all tinned food in his house. The food ladder was filled with tinned food. And so whenever he was hungry, he would open one tin, put it in a container, warm it up and eat. But on the day you went out into the community, maybe you made them hot dogs. Maybe you get them jerk chicken. Maybe you put your arm around them and you showed them Jesus. You showed them, you became an extension of his arms and his legs. So is what God does in our lives become a deep symbolic or receives a symbolic theological understanding out there, because they now see Jesus through our eyes. I want to finish off with this. This man, in verse 50, said, Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. He says, the man. I want you to know that. The man believed. As you come down to verse 53, in verse 52, he says, so he asked them the hour when he began to recover, and they said to him, yesterday at 1 in the afternoon, the fever left him. The father realized. Friends, the man became the father. The man was transformed. He wasn't a father. He gave birth to the son. In the natural, he was a father. But after he had an encounter with Jesus and his faith had deepened, the Bible says the man became the father. May the Lord transform us. May the Lord change us from where we have been to where we need to be.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.